Simen Sadi Sif Gimel. Mutulachta kachal reseach, one is permitted to cut a hat kachal, besakin shechotchu by boser, with a fleshing a knife. Even though a kachal has special halachas to it because of the milk that's in it, but after it was karoshesi varev, and now it was karoshesi varev, tachu b'kaisal, the milk was removed, and then it was properly cooked. So, as long as the kachal is now mutter, we view it now as regular fleishigs, and it's mutter to cut it with a fleishig and knife. The Ramastik adds in over here, v'kol shekein kachal chai, afal pi shimaleya chalov. And certainly one can cut a raw kachal, even though it is still full of the milk. At that point, there's no issue of cutting it, even though one would say that the milk over there is chalov derabanan, one may cut it with a fleishig and knife. V'chein mutter lachteich basar b'sakin shechatchu by kachal. Also the inverse. One may take a knife that was used to cut a kachal and now use it to cut fleishigs. V'chein adin lachol ze b'kli shechatchu by ze. So too with all the utensils. You could eat with, you could take a fleishig, a plate and eat a kachal on it, and you could take the plate that you ate the kachal on and now use it for fleishigs. So again, in all these cases, we're talking about where the kachal was prepared in a way where it is now mutter, so now it becomes like regular flesh. Haga, so Ramah continues now. V'hu adin litzlais zeh b'shvut shetzalu ba zeh. One is allowed to roast a kachal on the same shvut that you previously roasted on it meat. V'hu adin the mutal hanichai b'kara im basar tzli. Afilu shneim chamim. You could take the kachal after it was roasted, and you could place it in a kara. You can now place it in a bowl together with a piece of meat, even if they're both now hot. Again, like we said, so long as the kachal is properly was properly prepared, it is now like regular meat. According to Ramah, the way to properly prepare a kachal is through tzli, like we mentioned in the last sif, and that's why the Ramah now switches to shvuds and tzli. According to the Mechaber, though, so one can prepare it with bishul as well, as long as they don't have meat in the pot, then it is, even according to the minig of the Sfaradim, they would be allowed to cook it. By minig Ashkenazim was not to cook it even by itself, but only to roast it. Okay, the market is the lacher tzliyas hakachal dinei kishar basar l'chol davar. After the kachal has been roasted, it is now like regular meat. It is 100% regular meat. The Taz points out that, of course, we're talking about where the kachal was salted first, because otherwise, if you didn't salt it, so you have an issue of dam, and you're going to need to kasher the shvud because of dam. If you roast a piece of meat without first salting it, one can actually do that. The shvud, the fire will burn out the blood, and the meat will be mutter. But the shvud, what you roast it on, will need to be kashered afterwards. The Taz also points out that according to the Marashal, one should not cook the meat together with a kachal, even after it was already roasted. Even though the Ramah just said it's completely mutter, it has a din of basar 100%. However, the Marashal has a chumrah that lechatchila one should not cook it together, should not cook the kachal together with meat, even though it was already roasted. The reason being that we're afraid that if we allow you to do it after it was already roasted, you might come to cook it before it was roasted. So that's pros and chumras. So even still, one should not do that lechatchila. Okay, the Ramah continues. V'dafka shenitzla kedinoi. But this again is provided that the kachal was roasted properly. Dahainu shekaru tchila shesivarev v'tachu b'kaisel, which means that you first cut it Shesiv Arev and you pressed it. Avalim Aver Vitzalu Beloikriya. However, if one went ahead and they roasted it without having first cut it, Oikriya Muetes, or they did a Kriya, but they did only a small amount of Kriya. They didn't do a full Kriya of Shesiv Arev. Kol Hadvarim Elu L'chatchila Asurim. So then, it is not true. L'chatchila, one should not treat it as regular fleishigs. And the Shach explains that you would then have to kasher the shvud. Meaning, if you wanted to go to take this shvud that was used for fleishigs, now use it for kachal, or that was used for this type of a kachal, now use it for fleishigs, the shvud, the spit that it was roasted on would need libun. The Ramovi here, is mashma that if you want, you need to do a full kriya shesi variv and tocha b'kaisel in order to permit this kachal to make it into regular meat. The Shach brings from the Mashal, and this is probably the kavana of the Rama as well, that it's really, you sort of have to divide up this Rama a little bit. What he means is, if it wasn't fully cooked, if you didn't do a complete tzli, you didn't do a complete roasting, wasn't roasted the kol tzorcha, then it needs to have been that you were shesi varev etachu b'kaisel, the full removal of the milk. But otherwise, if you do a full roasting, so we already talked about this in the last sif, that you don't need the last stage of tachu b'kaisel. It's enough to just be kar shesi varev, and then one can roast it. That's also considered an appropriate way of roasting. So, in order for this to be consistent, you have to explain that what the Ramo means over here is that if you didn't fully cook it, then you need that it was shesivar v'tachu b'kaisel, a full removal of the milk. But otherwise, if you do remove the, if you do cook it fully, if you do roast it fully, then it really is enough if you just did a kriya shesivarev. Okay, so the Rama, as we said over here, says that if you didn't do all these things, then l'chatchila it would be aser. But yavid hakol mutter. But then even if you didn't do the full amount of removal of the, but you did a tzli, but it wasn't with a kriya, so b'di'evit, if it was now placed, if now let's say you cooked it together with meat or any of these things, b'di'evit it would be mutter. V'imkaru k'dinai v'tzalai, if one cut it according to the halacha and he roasted it, afal pisha matza achak gumais mleyas chalav, even if afterwards he found pockets of milk inside the chal, ein lachish. So that there's no concern, because that milk that didn't come out, it was like piresh, it never becomes aser. The chalav that we, again to review, when we talk about the chalav mesa, the chalav shchuta, which is aser midrabanan, that's considered milk midrabanan, that's talking about the milk that was piresh from the kachal. But the milk that stays in it, never becomes, it's not even chalav drabanan, that's completely mutter, and therefore if you do kriya shesi varev, you do the proper removal of the milk, so then whatever remains behind afterwards is considered like it was loy pirish. If you don't do that, if you don't do kriya shesi varev, so then it is considered like it's pirish, the milk that when you cook it. But when you if you do the proper removal, so then whatever remains behind is not considered to have ever been pirish, and it is 100% mutter. Okay, the Ramah continues, v'mihinichai kach shalem koidem tzliyasai. Let's say a person had a kachal, and he left it sitting on his table, okay, imchovai, with the milk still in it, yom shalem, he left it there for 24 hours, it became kovash. So now the milk is kavush inside the kachal. So what's the din? So mutter v'lo minyan kavush k'mavushal b'chiyah gavna. So it is permitted. One can still roast this kachal. We don't say that milk that's inside it now became kavush in it, and now you can't get it out. It'll give tam into the meat. It'll aser it in any way. But no, there's no iser over here. Interesting Taz over here. The Taz says that why is it mutter? Because kavush, we know, of basar b'chalav is only basar b'chalav drabanan. If I took even real milk and real meat and I soaked the two together for 24 hours, that would not be asur midaraisa, because derech bishul asur taira, only if you cooked it. So this would only make basar b'chalav midrabanan. And this milk that we're talking about over here, this chalav shchuta, is itself only a chalav drabanan. So he says, well, we have chalav d'rabbanan, and we have a mixture of the chalav and basar is only d'rabbanan, so it's trade d'rabbanans. And he says this would be considered a gzera l'gzera. We don't make up our own gzeras, and therefore this would be mutter. That's what the Taz says. Now everyone jumps on the Taz, and the Kosa Kesef says, well, oftentimes we do find gzera l'gzeras. We don't have the right to determine what's a gzera l'gzera and what's kulach chad gzerahi. And therefore the Kosa Kesef says it would be that's not the explanation over here. But this is an exception to the rule because the milk was never went out, and but otherwise, if one did take chalav d'rabbanan and one soaked a piece of meat in it for 24 hours, that would be asr. According to Taz, if you extracted this milk and you kavish even any piece, not just a chal, any piece of meat in it, you let it sit and soak in it for 24 hours. According to Taz, that's trade d'rabbanan gzeir in this case, and it would be mutter. Kosa Kesef says it's not true. The Dagum Rav Ava asks an interesting question against the Taz. He says it's a Mefurish Gemara, not like the Taz, because the Gemara says that there was a certain Bar Geisel, a certain pigeon that fell into Kutach, and they ended up permitting it, but only because the Kutach was not so salty. It was not Ein Nechel Machmas Melcha. It wasn't such a high level of salting. But had it been that high level of salting, it would have been forbidden. So he says, well, Oif, a pigeon is only an Oif, is only Basar D'Rabbanan, and it was only through Malicha, which is also not Derech Bishel. So it's also only a d'rabbanan dika combination of the milk and the meat. So using the rule that the Taz said for us, we should say the same thing over here too. We should say it's trade d'rabbanans, and it should be mutter. See, the Dagum Rav Ava says, you see, Mefurish, not like the Taz. So, but others answer the Yad Avram on the page of the Shulchan Aruch already. He gives an answer for the Taz. He says that Oif is an exception to the rule. That Oif, we made that to be exactly the same as meat. We find for all instances, we always treat Oif the same. He says more than that, the Taz says this explicitly in Siman Tzadik Ches, that we don't differentiate between halachas of meat and Oif. We treat it the same. So we don't consider that to be a gzera l'gzera, but rather that would be an example of kulach ad gzera. Because it's such a common thing, and if a person is going to start, people are going to confuse the chicken and meat. Mashen Kain over here, this special case of chalav d'rabbanan, of chalav shchuta, that's something that's, I guess, won't be as, it's not so common, and that we would consider to be a gzera l'gzera. Lamaisa, the Chassam Sofer writes in, that we don't really, and Primogadim also says this by us, that we don't really paskin like the Taz, we go like the Shach, that we consider this to be kulachad gzera, we would not permit such a thing. However, the Chassam Sofer says that we could use the Taz with other tzirufim, we could use it as a sniff, and he actually has an interesting case where he borrows this yisoid of the Taz and he uses it as a sniff lahakel. But he says mefurish, he says the paiskim don't go like the Taz. We can't just go straight with the Taz. But still, it's a choshev hashita of the Taz, and we can use it with other tzirufim.